Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We have as a special guest today, this is some information that you are going to be inspired to hear. You know, I have a special place in my heart for those who can tackle scientific information and then share it in such a coherent manner, if I could get my tongue out of the way, with those who, like myself, are not very well versed in the depths of science, but are yet fascinated by it. Today's guest, Brian Johnson from South Dakota Apologetics, has come back on the program today to discuss some sensitive areas that, put it mildly, may step on some cultural toes. But that's okay, because I do it all the time anyway. Praise God. Brian, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come back on the program with us today.
Hey, you're welcome, Pastor Bob. It's a real honor to be asked back. Thank you.
Amen. You know, I was looking at the prior interview we did with you, and I was shocked to realize it was a year ago that we had you on. I mean, time has definitely flown by, so I have a feeling that you have some new things to talk about with us today that has come out over the past year that you may just have a little issue with. Is that right?
I do, actually. I think I have some, there's some really new innovative stuff coming out that we can definitely definitely be encouraged by if you're a Christian.
Amen. Well, the first question, usually the first question I ask is coming up. I just kind of let that one slip out there. But so we'll jump back into the normal format. The first question I always ask is, who is Brian Johnson and what is South Dakota Apologetics?
Well, Brian Johnson is a humble servant of the Lord, and South Dakota Apologetics, we're a group that started out here in South Dakota. We had, there was a group of us, me and three other gentlemen got together, and we were going to put together an apologetics group, something to do it maybe more locally in the Rapid City area. And I'm like, what are we doing? Let's just reach out to the entire state. And that's where the name South Dakota Apologetics came from. And we're a mission built on spreading the gospel, really, first and foremost.
Amen.
Spread the gospel and talk to people about Jesus and try to save and win as many souls as we possibly can in the time that we're here. But in the midst of all of that, you have 1 Peter 3:15, which reminds us to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. And within that comes the apologetic side, which for those that might not know, apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia. It means to defend. It does not mean to apologize, which most people do. But we then use the information that we have to kind of help remove barriers that people might have concerning, you know, well, which religion is true, and how do you know the Bible's true, and hey, I have a question. And of course, I get a ton of atheists who have nothing else to hang their hat on but science, and of course, their questions are more science-related, and that's kind of my specialty. That's where I fall into the group in terms of kind of helping people better understand, well, there's another side to that scientific issue, and the perspective comes from a creator. Aside, and here is that side, because most of the time they've never read anything on that, nor have they ever heard anything on it, especially if they were raised in a public school and then on to a public university of some sort.
That's right. Amen. So South Dakota Apologetics started just as a local organization, and then you decided to expand?
Yeah, we were just actually meeting at the local library on a Saturday morning to do apologetics type stuff, and I'm like, well, let's reach out. Let's bring in speakers. So we've had people into Rapid City such as Alan Schliemann from Stand to Reason. We brought in Sean McDowell just this past event. We brought in a gentleman named James White. If anybody's familiar with him, he did a debate for us where we debated a group here in the United States called the Iglesia Ni Cristo. Most people are not familiar with them, but they are very big over in the Philippines. And we put on a a debate here on who was Jesus between the Iglesia Ni Cristo and James White, and that can be found on YouTube and on our website or on our Facebook page. But it was a really, really amazing witnessing tool, and since we've did that debate, we've had probably over 200,000 views on YouTube now.
Wow, praise God.
James White really laid out the roadmap on how to discuss Jesus with the Iglesia Ni Cristo, and of course, a lot of people that are involved with that group picked up on the video because they don't do that very often, and it was just a huge witnessing tool, and God just provided all of that to us, so it's great.
Amen. I'll put a link to that debate on the show notes for this podcast in case our listeners want to go back and take a look at it. I know I'm going to go back and take a look at it. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, it's a long one. It's about a three-hour debate.
But is that right? Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a three-hour debate, and we broke it up into chunks. Okay. The two gentlemen that debated, one was Brother Joe from Iglesia Ni Cristo and then Dr. James White, they both knew Greek, so they were able to dive into the original language and go back and forth concerning the original Greek and what it meant and how we know that Jesus proclaimed to be God and was God. And it was such an amazing debate. So I really do.
You may not
want to watch it all at once, but eat it in chunks like you would an elephant, and I think you guys will be blessed from it because it really was an amazing opportunity to learn a lot.
Okay, where's this Iglesia? What is it?
Iglesia Ni Cristo.
Okay. So what does that stand for?
Well, it translated, it means Church of Christ.
Ah, okay.
And that was, and I kind of told you that we do a little event here in Rapid City called the Hills Alive, where we bring in a lot of the biggest Christian artists in music now, and we bring them into Rapid City for a two-day event called Hills Alive, and we set up a tent there, and they had a tent there, and they got in under the name Church of Christ, but nobody had done any background work on them, so we...
Right.
We spoke with them, and when we found out that they believed Jesus wasn't God, then of course all the bells and whistles went off, and that eventually led to the debate. So,
amen. Hey, it's amazing how God opens up that door. You're standing right next to this tent. Well, guess what is going to happen today?
It was a very interesting. Direction that God allowed for us to, who are these people? We started asking them questions, which led to what it led to, which was just a huge blessing. It's great.
Wow. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, do you realize it's been just about 1 year since you were on this program? I mean, I was like, wow, time really does fly.
I got the email from you, and I was like, oh, great, Pastor Bob. And I looked at it, and I'm like, wait a minute, how long ago was that? And I looked at, previous emails, and I'm like, wow. Yeah, it felt like maybe, I don't know,
a few months.
Four months ago. And yeah, it's been an entire year. And so I'm, like I said, I'm really honored that you asked me back to the show.
Praise the Lord. Now, one of the topics that we kind of opened up but never really nailed back down well, there were a couple of areas like that. But let's talk about some things that just don't jive with the standard theory of evolution. I mean, you have some examples in that area that you discuss and you have a lot of knowledge about. Share some of those areas with us.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's a couple of things that I think the listeners would be very interested in. And this is all modern evidence. So one of the things that I find in my talks, and my daughter, my youngest, she recently graduated from high school, and so she had brought home to me a recent biology book, and I was looking through the biology book, and I was just amazed and quite appalled at how old the information was in this brand new biology book. It was the newest one they were using, which was only about a year old. And it was recently put out by a gentleman he's obviously a very, I would say, a militant atheist in his views. And he was kind of the editor of this biology book, if you will. And I was amazed at how much old information was in it. And it led me to start really better understanding that from a creation, the two competing ideas we really have on the table are creation and evolution. And you can hold to that evolutionary idea, but in order to do so, you really can't look at any new modern evidence and still hold to this evolutionary view, because the modern evidence is just starting to be so profoundly overwhelming in favor of a creation idea that I can see why these books do it. I'm appalled that they do it, because in my mind, I'm like, well, let's just tell the kids the truth and let them decide what's true for themselves.
Well, wouldn't their theory in keeping the old evidence, that's the evidence that has been scientifically proven?
Okay, so the argument might be that we know this to be true about evolution, and that's fine. I understand that they can use that to maybe confirm their side of the argument, because let's be honest, the creationist will try and do the same thing. He'll say, yes, but what about this evidence? I think where the issue comes in is, in science, the way it works is new science trumps old science. So once upon a time, we might have thought that the universe was 50 billion years old, and now we've reduced it down to about, you know, 13.9 or 12.9 or whatever they think it is. And, and it's just that new science trumps old science. It was once thought that the universe was eternal, and then Einstein came along and proved that to be wrong. So instead of holding to this old science, it's important that if we're going to take steps forward, we need to embrace what the new science shows us. Otherwise, we're just doomed to be stuck in this stone age of science, which is where a lot of the evolutionary population is left now. They want to stay with the information that they believe still confirms evolution, whereas the new evidence is showing it not to be true. And it's time we take that step forward and just science just is what it is, and not worry about the theological implications that might be coming from this new evidence.
Okay. Tell me about what you just mentioned with Einstein proved the universe is not eternal. Just go into that a little bit more detail.
Oh, okay. Well, it was about 120 years ago or so, there was the common accepted idea by most all scientists at the time was that the universe was eternal. And then Einstein came along with his theory of relativity, and he said, we know now, or we can see now, that the universe is expanding. Well, if the universe is expanding, then at one point in time, it must have been smaller. Mm-hmm. And so he traced that back to a single point that we refer to now as the singularity. And that was a point in time where all time, matter, existed at this little point called the singularity. So he didn't, and he hated it, actually. Einstein actually, he hated his theory because it had these theological implications to the idea. He knew, well, if the universe had a beginning and it wasn't eternal in the past, then where did it come from? Like, how did it get started? We have these laws that tell us that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Right. And if that's the case, how was matter created in the first place then? Right. And so he actually fudged the numbers to try to make that work, because he was bothered by the fact that there were theological implications to that. And then about 20 years later, there was a gentleman named Edwin Hubble, the Hubble Space Telescope. People might be familiar with that. Yep. But he of course, called Einstein down to his observatory, and he said, hey, I want you to look at this. And he looked through the telescope, and what he showed Einstein was something called redshift in the stars. And so if you've ever been near a train, a lot of people are familiar with the Doppler effect. The train sounds like one thing coming at you, and it sounds different leaving you, and it has to do with the sound waves and what they're doing as they approach you and as they leave you. Well, the same thing's true of light waves. So if it's a really tight, small light wave, it's more nearer to you, and as it gets further away from you, it gets wider and broader in its scope, in its flow, in its wave, if you will. So what they observed was this red light was getting wider as it left or as it moved away over time. So he knew, Edwin Hubble knew, that the stars were moving away from us in this instance, which confirmed Einstein's theory that the universe was expanding, which then led to the realization when Einstein left the lab, he left that observatory and said, I can no longer deny that my theory isn't correct. The universe did have a beginning, and it is expanding. Wow. So then it was up to the scientists to then embrace this newly found, newly accepted evidence, and some went with it and some didn't, and it took some time, but eventually, you know, the others came along kicking and screaming because that's just where the evidence led. But it did lead to, of course, theological implications, which was awesome for the Christian because we were like, yeah, we knew 2,000 years ago the universe had a beginning.
There you go. That's right.
You know? But we've got this book, and in this book it tells us that, well, and,
God,
you know,
said.
God said in the beginning, let there be, and for me that happened about 6,000 years ago, you know. But we knew long ago that the universe had a beginning, and it was proven then later on by science. So there's a really good example where science believed one thing, and it was changed through the newer evidence, more modern evidence that came out.
Well, let's dig into a excuse the pun. dig into a little bit of the more recent thing, and to me, you know, recent. I'm going to go back to 1980, 81, I think it was, with Mount St. Helens. Tell us some of the interesting things that came out of the Mount St. Helens explosion.
Well, I think one of the bigger topics within the creation discussion is, and has been, things like mega sequences or major, can't think of the word, but things like the Grand Canyon, that's a good example.
Okay.
So we see the Grand Canyon, and of course we have these competing ideas, and so you have maybe the old Earth person, and I won't define them as not a Christian, because there's a lot of Christians that are old Earthers, and then once again, I've told you this, I'm fine with that. That don't bother me. I don't think you get into heaven or are permitted or kept from heaven because of a young Earth, old Earth. But anyway, if you're an old Earther, you would believe that the Grand Canyon was formed
over
millions of years, just slow running water, eventually carved it out, so on and so forth. For the young Earth creationists, we would say no, it was carved very, very quickly, and that was done through Noah's flood. The runoff from the waters, when they began to recede after the flood, they created these kinds of anomalies that we see, and one of them is the Grand Canyon, where it carved it out, and very, very quickly. They think within maybe days or even weeks, the Grand Canyon was quickly carved. It would be similar to go in your backyard, find a pile of dirt, and take a water hose to it and just pour the water down on top. And you'll see how quickly that water carves out these canyons, if you will, and do that on a much larger scale. So we have these competing ideas, which one are more true, and you kind of stack the evidence one for another on top of it. Well, the Mount St. Helens eruption then, coming around to that, kind of showed us that these kind of really fast, really quick things can happen, because after Mount St. Helens erupted, we saw the lava flowing, just pouring down off of the mountain, and after it had finished working its way down and working its way out of the mountain, and finally everything cooled, we could go back and take a look, and lo and behold, what did we see? But a Grand Canyon type thing. It wasn't obviously as big as the Grand Canyon,
but it
had the same type of look to it that you would find in some sort of a major catastrophe, and it was very similar then to what the Grand Canyon would look like. So here was evidence on a big scale based on Mount St. Helens that showed us that these kind of sequences, these kind of formations like the Grand Canyon, can happen and probably do happen very, very rapidly, as opposed to the millions of years idea, which brings us back to a confirmation of the Bible and Noah's flood mm-hmm. being true.
Amen. Well, wasn't there also something about disproving carbon dating at Mount St. Helens, or through
yeah.
the Mount St. Helens thing?
Well, yeah, and you know, that's always been such a big sore spot with both sides of the camp, of course, because they'll say, well, what about radiocarbon dating, which is how you date rocks and get billions of years, or what about you know, carbon dating, which gives you tens of thousands of years? And what they did is they did a radiocarbon dating on the igneous rock that came from Mount St. Helens. Well, obviously, we know how long ago that happened because we witnessed the event. But when they sent off the samples to be radiocarbon dated, what they came back with was billions of years. And different labs got different things. Like, some were only 100,000 years, and some were millions, and some were billions. And it all depended kind of on which lab you sent it to. So not even the labs could agree how old these igneous rocks were. But even so, none of them were right. They were.
You'll have to explain for our listeners, some of our listeners, what igneous rocks are.
Oh, sorry. Igneous rocks would be, well, something that you would find from a volcano. There
right.
you go.
Yeah,
I mean, that's as simple as
it's easy as it gets. Yeah.
You have the limestone, you have the sandstone. People are very familiar with that kind of rock. But the igneous rock is just something that comes from a volcanic explosion.
Yeah. Caused by a lot of heat.
Correct. So. And you, the geologist, would know all about that now, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but some of our listeners aren't into like you and I are. when they sent these things off to the lab and they come back with all the different, why are they like that? I mean, are they not using the same method? I thought that was the scientific method. You know, you do an experiment and it's repeatable by other labs to come up with the same result. Why couldn't these so-called secular labs, who are proponents of, you know, the long Earth, you know, theme, why couldn't they even come up with the same results?
Well, that's I guess the $64,000 question. I don't know. Like I said, they should all be doing. I'd have to think back now. Did I say radiocarbon dating or radiometric dating? I should have said radiometric dating if I didn't. But when they do their radiometric dating, which is how they date things that are millions or billions of years old, these labs should all be doing it the same way. And primarily, they really do. So when they get these competing ideas, there's always an out. Like the evolutionist or the old earther will always find some sort of a story or an out. And what it usually boils down to is contamination. That's probably the most. It is just the most used by all. Oh, it was contaminated. Oh, it was contaminated. But. I don't know how it could have been contaminated. They're all collected the same way, and they're all very carefully. The samples are all very carefully collected in a way to avoid contamination. Some of the ideas will be, well, the substance is coming from deep within the earth. And so what you're really testing isn't something necessarily from the surface, but something from deep within the earth, and that's what you're testing, and that's why you're getting these older dates. And once again, I think that's just a bit of a rescue device, because they don't like the fact that they don't come back consistently either. So there's always a rescue device. They'll have an excuse for it. But I think the easiest answer, really, is to look at it and just say, well, maybe there is something wrong with radiometric dating. Maybe there's just something we're missing here in terms of how it all happens. Because it's based on what's called uniformitarianism, and that is, the way it happens now is how it's always happened in the past. So there's a lot of built-in assumptions to radiometric and radiocarbon dating. And radiometric dating in particular is built on the assumption that the way things happen today are the way they have always happened in the past. But, of course, if things were different in the past, that would affect the radiometric dating a lot, like by millions and even billions of years. So you have to conform to the assumptions, but if the starting assumptions are wrong, then, of course, your ending conclusions will also be wrong, which is the argument from the creationist perspective.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time again today for today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. We've been talking with Brian Johnson from South Dakota Apologetics. And anytime we get Brian Johnson on, I can just talk about geology and paleontology and fossils and all that because of my brief background introductory studies that I was doing as a teenager. But I've always been fascinated by geological formations and paleontology and things like that. So at least I can carry on a discussion. His vast array of knowledge is way, way beyond anything I could even claim to know. And that's why I find it so interesting talking to him. You know, it's these things that Brian Johnson is talking about that changes textbooks. I mean, if you go and look at some of the textbooks your children are studying right now, a lot of this information that Brian is talking about is not included in the textbooks. And in order for you to counter that, in order for you to go before the Board of Education in your area and demand that the science books publish the facts, you have to know what the facts are. And South Dakota Apologetics has a vast resource that's available for you to go and get a hold of, study, and present when you go to counter these leftist-leaning things going on in the world today. Now, come back tomorrow as Brian Johnson will conclude this interview as we discuss more from the South Dakota apologetics. Come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Bob Tibble reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.